Well, I hear them talking about the same old things. Talking about money, honey, status, power, and fame. But I'm here to tell you.
Good morning and welcome back. This is our Sunday service live stream here at Nations Harvest Church Assembly. And I am your humble servant, the servant of the Most High God, Pastor Don Hirth. Today, I wanted to take time to spend some time with our viewers and those that are here in the assembly. We're doing something that is just a little different, and that's taking a break from the norm. Actually, there are things that really inspired this moment, and it was a cry that come from two of the sheep of the fold. One is my son in ministry, Pastor Eddie Walton, and I, during the course of the week, we were discussing, and in the conversation, he says to me, you know, Pastor, sometimes it's just that we get the information and we read and we study, but we just don't have the understanding. And the scripture teaches us that in all of our getting and all of our learning and all that we take in, either by reading or even by osmosis, that whatever you get, you should get an understanding. And that's important. And then unknowing that that conversation went on, I encountered another conversation with another parishioner, and she said, you know, I've really experienced a moment that's extremely heavy, and it was because of the loss of a very dear friend. And she lost that friend, and in losing that friend, she says she looked, and the way that she was grieving, her friend wouldn't really want her to grieve like that. She would be saying, come on, snap out of this. It's time for us to move forward. This was going to happen, and we're not going to go through this like this. And she said, but here I am, and I'm just overwhelmed and overtaken with all of this grief. And then I had to come to a reality. This is not what God would want us to do either. Sure, the scripture teaches us, for those who rejoice, rejoice with them. And then those who weep, weep with them. Even when Lazarus died, Jesus found himself in a grieving moment. So I wanted to take today to maybe get some things in perspective, and no better way to do that than to have someone to share this stage with me today. And as I told you earlier, in the spirit of Medea, the disciplines or the disciples. And I told them that this was going to be a moment. And I think that maybe if it wasn't Sunday service, they could probably just take the stage and just run like they were just veterans in videography and live streaming. But because it's that moment where, no, we see you up there, and we ain't going to be able to do. So I told them it's going to be a very comfortable moment. So I want you to join in with us today. I have with me today a parishioner here, the director of Challenger Christian Academy here at Nations Harvest, and she is none other than Sister Taphany Lanier. Taphany is not only she's not only a parishioner here, not only is she the director here, but she is that sister like none other. This is my wife's sister, and I say to you today, Taphany, happy Valentine's Day, and you're blowing me away with that red jacket. I had a shirt with a red heart on it, and I took it off because it was a short sleeve. And I say, now people are going to know it's 28 degrees here, and here he is sitting up there with a short sleeve shirt on. So thank you for the splash of red today, and good morning to you, and welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you for taking this assignment today to be up here with us, because we need someone who represents the lay people, because people look at a pastor like, oh, he has something special, you know. True, the gift that I've been given is a very special one, and I don't denounce that in any way. Right. But at the same time, the requirements and the grace that God give us, that thing's on an equal plane. It doesn't change. You know, there's no spikes in that. So I want to welcome you, Taphany, and you're a great asset to this morning. Trust me and do believe. And also with me today, I have a very dear person, and he really fits the mold, because the person that is with me here is a person that is the epitome of what we're going to discuss this morning or take as a foundation, and that is faith. And this young man, he's still young. He was young when he got here, and he's still young, except he told us he had a little incident with his son. But he's still young. He come here to some, I don't know how many years ago it's been, maybe at least 8 years now. Yeah, it's been some years. It's when we first moved out to Priceville. So, you know, it's been some years. But he walks up to the door, and the daycare is open, and we're fresh and new out here. And there's this guy knocking on the door. Well, open the door. He may have a kid. We need kids. Open the door. And when we open the door, he says, "Is this a church?" And the person that I'm speaking of is Pastor Corey Roden, and he is my son in ministry. And again, I say he is the epitome of faith, because he said the Lord was directing him by the Spirit, and he had passed this building for several times and refused to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And then the Holy Ghost won in the match, because his arms was too short to box with God. Mm-hmm. So he took heart and came and knocked on the door, met Cassie, and him and Cassie looking at each other. And is this a church? And she says, yes. He said, well, could I speak with the pastor? Well, you know, there's nobody more protective over me than my wife, Cassandra. And she come in, she said, there's a guy at the door, and he wants to talk to the pastor. And I said, okay, well, let him in. The rest is history. I've been with Corey now through two more additions to his family. Mm-hmm, yeah. Elijah Fire and
Jordan River.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. And he and Natalie were not supposed to have any more children. Yeah. She was supposed to be just totally with not an ability to have any more children. And not only have God blessed the fruit of her womb with one, but two. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Corey was talking about something, but anyway, I think Natalie won in that, so I think it's over.
It's
so
over.
Jordan Rain, yeah. Nickname is Caboose.
That's it.
Yeah, that's, so, it that's it, buddy. So listen, and we're all here together, myself and Taffany and Pastor Corey, and we're going to be discussing some things, and I'm just going to bring them in. We didn't have any prep for this. As I invite all of you in, and I hope you're still calling friends, because this is going to be a very special service today. This is going to be a special moment. It could be the start of something that's going to be wonderful, something that we can actually maybe move into as a part of our ministry and presentation. Now, we still have family members and birthrights that are here live. We're not open to the public yet in our auditorium, but we are open to our birthrights now, as we're still exercising all of the things that are going to help us to get over this pandemic. But we have them, so if you hear them in the audience, as it's not as loud as I would usually be, that's just Haven back there, and that's my amen corner. Trust me, when I say amen, I'm gonna get one from her if I don't get one from anybody else. And that's my little Haven back there. And to all of you that are joining us, I'm so excited, and I hope that you are too. Listen, let me just kind of open this up. As I said, we didn't have any preparation, so they're going to be just working with me. What Taffany has is she has her device that's ready to receive anyone who has a question that's in the chat environment in our virtual church. So if you have a question, just kind of put it in the chat box, and Taffany's going to bring that to my attention. She's right there. She would usually be a host remotely or in the service, but she's here and she's on the stage with us today. So if you have a question as we get going in this, and it may not even be pertaining to what we're talking about, I'm going to try to stay on point with a couple of things as it relates to faith today. But if you have a question and it's pressing or something that you just need to hear, you know, give it to me, and I'm going to try to get it right back to you the very best I can, as the Holy Scriptures teach us, okay? But immediately, I want to think about Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 10, where Jesus spends this time alone with his disciples. And it's after the mass. It's after the assembly. Jesus had been and he had taught, and he had taught. Actually, that particular day, he had taught the Beatitudes. You know, blessed is the man. You know, I'm sorry, it wasn't the Beatitudes. It was one where he taught gave the parable of the seed that was sown. He was talking about the seed that was sown, and there was some seed that was sown in thorny soil, and some that was sown in good soil, and others that was sown in various types of soil. And of course, we're talking about faith here. But he uses it in a parable. He uses a parable, which is a method of teaching that helps the hearer or the listener to identify with the message that is being given. It's a use in using maybe types, similes, and even metaphors, but God's going to get across a message. Because if I'm an old farmer and you start throwing these million-dollar words at me, then I may not know what you're talking about at the end. So when you start talking about wheat and tares and plowing and horses and, you know, and ox and things like that, then I can better identify with that. So Jesus uses the technique of parables. And when he used this, the disciples didn't quite get it. So what they did in Matthew 13 and verse number 10 is they pulled Jesus to the side. And they said, and let me just phrase it in a way, man, tell us what you're talking about. Break it down. Make it clear. We want to get an understanding. So what I learned in this is that there is a subject that is in the Holy Scriptures that you'll never see the word, but it was actually a teaching, and that teaching is solitude. It's solitude. Solitude is a subject that you'll never see taken up in the Holy Scriptures. But if you watch what Jesus did, you'll see that there was a ministry called solitude, which is time alone, time off. We need to take time off. Even if you're going and you're in pursuit of higher learning, your PhD or your master's or whatever level you may be matriculating in, there is a time that you need to just take some time to yourself, time with someone that you love, and you need to spend it in a moment of solitude. And if Jesus spent these moments of solitude, let me tell you two of them. One was when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. I'm just letting you guys get comfortable, because in a minute y'all gonna get fired up, okay? So he's in the wilderness for 40 days, right? And who's he with when he's in the wilderness? Nobody. He's just there. And then when he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, which is before he goes to Calvary, he carries three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. He says, you stay right here, and I'm going to go in farther. Now, when he goes in to the interior of his prayer moment, which is like our closet moment in prayer, who's there with him? Nobody. Well, how can we read what he did when he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, or what he said when he was in, you know? Now, let me tell you all, people say you shouldn't question God, and I was probably taught that too. I don't remember my mom saying it, but I know others did. But I'm trying to tell you, with the questions I got, that's the only one I want an answer from, okay? So now, but I'm going to ask now, how do we know what Jesus said? How do we know that He had sweat as drips of blood, hemohydrosis. How did he have this going on? And how do we know that he was in the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil three times? Now, Corey, you and I are pastors, and we ought to know this. And at this point, aren't you glad somebody didn't ask you yet? Well, I had a chance to get this one ready, so don't. But let's ask the question, okay? Man, how do we know what Jesus did if there was no one there to record it? You know, so you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who's writing these things and telling about what Jesus did. So what we have actually is the gospel narratives were not written at the time that the events happened. So when you get the gospel narrative and you say that he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, you're getting a narrative, but it's not at the time that it actually happened. It wasn't like some kind of a daily journal where They were just writing as it happened, you know, minute by minute. We're at the minute. We're at the scene right now. We're out in the wilderness, and we see Jesus over there. We see him having a conversation. We don't know who he's talking to right now. We'll get back with you, and we'll write that. It's not like that. Right. It's not like a journal. But rather, they were put together later, and they were considered historical narratives. So they were historical narratives. Now, what you have is you have someone that's coming back to tell a story about an event that that has taken time and place. And we need to know that. So don't dispute the Bible because you say, someone tells you, well, how could they write that and he was by himself? Because it is a historical narrative. Jesus spent, now let me pull it all together. Jesus spent private moments with his disciples, right? I can tell you things about my dad, Harry Hirth, that happened when he was 18 years old. Well, he didn't have me until he was over 40. So how can I tell you what my dad did at 18? Because of historical narratives. Because my mom spent private moments in solitude with me to tell the stories. How do you know what Sister Patterson did? How do you know what your dad did? How do you know what your mom and your dad did before your birth? It's because they took moments that they would share with you. When Jesus had private moments, he was sharing things with his disciples that had happened in time. And they recorded these things. And he spoke to us and he said that as he spent these 40 days and 40 nights that he was tempted of the devil. Okay? So solitude is really important. Jesus answers them in the question about, tell us about these things. Jesus says that I'm going to give you the knowledge about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you knowledge about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So that's where we're kind of coming in. That's what we're going to base this on today is subjects just like that. And you need to ask the question yourself. When I see something in the scriptures and I don't understand it, what do I do? That's when you invite the Holy Spirit in. If the Holy Scriptures were given by holy men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, holy men inspired by the Holy Ghost, and then they wrote under that spiritual unction, under that spiritual direction, don't you know today that you can have that same experience? Do y'all believe that? That just the way that they were inspired when they were writing, I can be inspired when I'm reading. Now that brings us to the course where we are. How does faith come? By hearing. By hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So now we need the same inspiration that the gospel writers had in order to get an understanding. We can't just read it like it's a good novel. You know, have you ever heard anybody say, I done read it from front to back? Well, I'm not going to lie to you today. I've been in this thing since 1982. That makes it about 39 years now, and next year will be 40 years. That's the only thing other than living, that's the longest thing that I've done, okay, is been in ministry. So I'm coming, and I have not read it from front to back. As a matter of fact, I have not read every book, okay? You know, at periods of time, I've taken something that God had written, and I've sought him for understanding. I've got to tell you a story. Pastor R.L. McCray, that's the pastor I come under, hard hand. My first sermon was on my birthday, September 6, 1982. And its topic was, even the crowd can't stop me now. Okay? Well, anybody who knows me, I did more crying than I did anything. I wasn't preaching nothing. I was just up there just sobbing. I preach my own self happy. Does that sound familiar, Pastor Corey? Yep, because you're a crier too. You'll bust out crying in a minute while you're preaching. And you know, you just tell everybody, give me a second, give me a minute, give me a minute. It's not that I don't know what to say next. It's right. Just that I can't say it right now because the Holy Spirit is all in my throat and the word of God and that inspiration. And I tear my way through. But we want to do all of this reading, but what you need to get is if you take a word, it's because this is what God does. With this word by which we receive faith, is he took a single word and he created everything just under a single word. And the power of the word let. Let there be. The power of that word. The dynamics of that word let. And that's what God did in the creation. So it's always good for us to revisit. So you go back. What am I telling you to do? Take your scriptures today. And you need to revisit them. And I'm going to just kind of put this off for a minute so that I can take just a second and breathe and let, you know, Pastor Corey or Taffany just kind of give their experience, you know, and just give a little input on, you know, reading that word and giving yourself to the Holy Spirit to get an understanding. What's your experience? What's your personal experience? Either of you, it doesn't make any difference. What's your personal experience?
Well, I personally reading, I haven't read the Old Testament. I've read the New Testament. And the enjoyment of reading that has really, this is me. I personally don't believe that the faith within myself gets me where I need to be. I believe it's the faith within Jesus Christ that gets me where I need to be. A lot of times my faith in something is not where it needs to be, but my faith in him carries me to the next step in life. So many times I have tried and I've put my faith into something, and I've failed.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I've seen that never fails, it's him. And a lot of times I can't see him, I can't feel him, I don't know he's there, but I know by faith he's there.
Right.
And by knowing by faith he's there and staying in these scriptures and staying reading this word and knowing that he's going to show me something. He's never failed me in that. He's never let me down in the point of reading these scriptures and knowing by faith that he is there. He has always been there. You know, everything I've done in my life, you know, through the beginning when I had this head-on collision with God.
Yes.
I didn't know what I was doing. I call it blind faith. I had no clue what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue as of who he was,
right?
What he was capable of. I had no clue as of what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened on the inside of me. Holy Spirit grabbed me, and I believe it is the scripture. One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 9. We are saved by grace through faith.
Yes.
And I believe if you take that, it's not by anything. It's you can't boast on your works. There's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But by knowing that you're saved mm-hmm. by grace mm-hmm. through faith, I think that is the key of everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize that you're saved by grace through faith and you walk this thing out, not even knowing that if you're doing it the right way or not.
Right.
You just walk it out with him. And
absolutely.
I believe if you walk it out with him, we're all going to fall. We're all going to be in places in our life where we think we've done the right thing, we think we've said the right thing, but in all actuality, we may have failed to the point of everybody else's view,
mm-hmm.
but we know in God's eyes and God's view, we have never failed him.
Right.
We've always been there because he's always been there for us. And when I took this journey, I didn't know anything about God. I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't given this, you know, I didn't sit in a pew. I didn't. Bishop, right. I wasn't there. I may have went to church, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times growing up as a kid. I wasn't in youth group. I wasn't any of those things. So I really didn't know God.
Wow.
At all.
Wow.
So for me not to know God at all and for me to put all my faith in him, it was just one of those moments to where I just said, okay, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when you put all in,
mm-hmm.
not even knowing what you're doing, mm-hmm. I think that is the true definition of faith.
Yes.
You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do it. You don't know when to do it.
Absolutely.
You just do it.
Yes.
And when you put all in and you say, God, I'm here. I don't know what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the statement earlier about questioning God.
Mm-hmm.
I've questioned some God on a lot of things.
Oh, yes.
On a lot of things.
Yes.
A lot of things that if people would have heard me say it, they'd be like, whoa, man, time out here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I believe by in doing that, it has given me a stronger faith of knowing who
Absolutely.
He is and knowing what to do, how to handle it.
Uh-huh.
Because if I wouldn't have asked those questions, yeah, God knows everything, but I believe it comes at a time and a place where you say, hey, God, okay, you may know it, but I don't know it.
Right, absolutely.
And I think you have to ask that question.
Absolutely.
Like say, okay, God, you know, I may have done this, I may have done that, but if I've done this and I've done that, and there's consequences to this and to that. If I can't get to where I'm going because of that mistake, God, I've got to know and have faith in you to believe that by those consequences that I have to just step back and say, okay, God, if this is what this is, if this is the faith having in you is going to change things. Well, let me say it this way. I've times in my life where I've made mistakes and I've done things that I'm not happy with.
Okay.
And if you read the scripture, sometimes you can take things out of context,
mm-hmm.
and not even really mean to take things
Absolutely.
Out of context.
Absolutely.
It's just a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read scriptures before and I've taken it out of context, not meaning to. And I've taken it and I've said, okay, God, If this is true, what this says right here, if I have done these things, and it is going to be a point in my life where I can't go any further because of the mistakes I've made of what I've read in this word, and says that if I that it will doom me in a sense,
mm-hmm.
then God, I don't want it.
Right. Okay.
I don't want it.
I can understand that.
I don't want this. If you can't save me through grace, by grace through faith,
mm-hmm.
I don't want it.
Right.
And it's not that I was, you know, tempting God or anything like that. It was just to a point in my life where I knew that I had to, the contrite heart within myself had to just say, God, I'm all in.
Yes.
Or nothing.
Absolutely. Pastor Corey says, and he says, my faith, and then there is a very definite line in my faith in Jesus Christ. Not what I have, but is what I have in him. God give all of us a measure of faith. And I think he gives us that to become clinicians. We're like nurse practitioners. We're more skilled than a registered nurse, but we're not as skilled as a doctor. Okay? So we can do the same things that doctors do, but we cannot perform surgery.
Right?
Right? So our faith is subject to mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we give that up and we say, Lord, And I like the way you did it. I'm not questioning your authority, but I am coming to you, communicating with you because of my relationship with you. My wife respects me as a husband. She doesn't question my authority. But she certainly, in our relationship, she wants to know by communicating with me, where are we? Where are we doing? Where are we going? Pastor Corey says this word, Daphne, he said, revisit. He said, I go back to something that I've already received from God. I read this, but God, I want to go back. Why is it important to revisit and go back? Because when you revisit, you can see how much you've grown.
Exactly.
You go back and you say, wow. That's why it's not good let me just say, I don't write notes in my Bible.
Right.
And you know why I don't write notes in my Bible? It's because I feel like if I write that note in that Bible, then I'm going to miss something because I'm going to be focused on what I got at that moment.
Amen.
God, I'm reading this now, and I don't need to put any notes because I'm looking for a fresh revelation. I need something. I read this back when I was 21. I need something now that I'm 63.
Right. And that's what happens, Bishop. That's where I was this week with my faith. We have been taught one thing, and that's all that we focus on. When we're taught things in life, that's what we focus on. Your faith in God is because at first you had none.
Right.
You had none. So you were not conditioned to what we were conditioned to when we were in the church as children. We were taught one thing because that's how they read it, and that's how they interpret it to us as young people, even all the way down to the point of death. We are supposed to mourn. That's not what the Bible tells us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what our faith should tell us to do when it comes to things like that. It tells us that when a child is born, that's when we mourn.
Mm-hmm.
When someone passes away, that's when we rejoice, because their reward is there. They have now gone to receive their reward of what they were put here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So our faith was where we sat here and we thought about what we were taught as children. We never revisit what, as Christians now, that we can go back and reread things and understand it differently. We can go back and we can now reread the things that people, you know, it's not saying that it was wrong what they said. It was what we needed at that time.
Yeah.
But now this is a different time.
Yes.
This is a different time for us to go back and read for ourselves and get another understanding, because that was then, this is now. We are closer to the end than we are to the beginning.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying? So the faith that you have now is because you didn't have any, so that makes yours just totally, not more powerful than mine, but it just makes it that much more powerful.
A strong relationship.
Yes.
You know, I listened to I want to make this clear with people, because in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is one that says that a good name is highly preferred. And then it goes on to say that when someone is born. Now, that's argumentative, because someone would say, that's not what that means, that you just get all happy when people die.
Right.
I don't think we're going to be able to actually do that.
Right.
But I do know that Romans chapter 12 and verse number 15 says, rejoice with them who rejoice,
yes,
and weep with those who weep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when my mother left, I didn't see her doing any crying.
Amen.
I didn't see her weeping.
Amen.
And I could hear her voice telling me, son, don't cry.
It's
going to be all right.
Do you
hear what I'm saying? So you know what I started doing? I started rejoicing with her.
Yeah.
I say, look at Luella getting them with them shoes on. That sister got them shoes on now.
Amen.
Lord, she got that new robe on now. She got all of that on. And I rejoice with her.
Amen.
And that's where you're absolutely right. When we revisit, we can see something else show up.
Mm-hmm.
When we revisit, as often as you go back to the scriptures, Cassandra is a journal writer. I really should have her writing manuscripts for me, but I think that's cheating. Can you have your wife write sermons for you? Okay, yeah, I don't know. Y'all, somebody send Tiffany a chat and tell her yes or no. Can I have my wife write manuscripts? But anyway, she gets these inspirations, and she's writing from what she heard preached.
Right.
But I'm like, but that's not what I got when I was preaching. How did you get that? Something else shows up. And when something else shows up, you'll discover something that you missed.
That's right.
Is that about true, Pastor Corey?
Yes.
Every time you go back, and brother, I know you are a preacher, when you want to get a complete, I mean, all of the homiletics, all of everything that comes along with seminary, everything, Pastor Corey, is like dot your I's and cross your T's. Never step foot in a seminary.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, the brother's sharp when it comes to grace. And if I want to know something about grace, I go to this brother. I listen to him. And every time I listen to him about grace, something else shows up.
Right.
Okay? You know, something else shows up. Every time when you say that, I just watch you. And man, there is a special spirit about you that permits you to flow, so that I can hear words about grace. So, you know, Isaiah 43 and verse number 19 says, see now, God is doing a new thing. But the scripture says there's no new thing under the sun. But when we revisit, it's not a new thing. It's just a fresh revelation. Right? Situations bring about fresh revelation. There are some things that no matter how much we get try to get ready for in our faith, we'll never be prepared for it.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Is that right, Pastor Corey? Yes, out of all the faith you got, there are some things that can happen that you are not ready for. And you're going to have to go to God and tell him what?
Yeah. I need some help.
I need some help.
Straight up.
You know? Yeah. And God's going to say back to you, where is your faith?
Yeah.
And you're going to say back to him, right here in you.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm about to watch you work in me.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
Amen. And how do I have a right to do that? Is because I have God's riches at Christ's expense, and that's his grace.
Amen.
I've been graced this moment. I got favor. Like, can I say it like this? God, I got it like that with you.
Yes, that's right.
I got it like that with you. Somebody need this morning. Yes. Somebody needs this because you got these sermons, and you got them, and you got all these sermons, but you need something. Now, let me just move forward a little bit as we're coming, you know, to a turn here. There are two groups of people. There are the believers, and then there are the unbelievers.
Right.
All right? So can we just do that today, just two groups? Okay. We consider ourselves the believers, mm-hmm. right?
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
And then you got the unbelievers, right? Matthew chapter 8, and I need everybody to go there. Matthew chapter 8, and find that in your Bibles. And I want to begin there in Matthew chapter 8. You can stay on it in case someone asks a question, Taffany. I'll read it out for you.
Okay.
You maintain there because someone, and nobody asked a question yet? Why ain't y'all asking questions? Help a brother out up here. Okay, Matthew chapter, somebody said he don't need any help when it comes to opening his mouth. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. Jesus came down the mountain with the cheers of the crowd still ringing in his ears. Then a leper appeared and dropped to his knees before Jesus. Now, who is what? How is this guy identified by name? Nope, by his condition. What is he? He's a leper. And he says, Master, if you want to, you can heal my body. Dude. I've been in church this long, and I ain't never went to God like that. God, if you want to, you can handle this. This mortgage is getting kind of. But God, if you want to, you can pay rent this month. You know? Nobody would know. This is told y'all we're gonna be whatever. I gotta laugh because see they put some tissues up here, and I told Taffy if she starts shouting when she up here, I promise you, I'm just gonna keep. So I gotta keep us laughing because these people. He says, if you want to, you can heal my body. Verse number 3. Jesus reached out and he touched him. He said, I want you to be clean. Isn't that amazing? He says, Jesus, I know that you can touch my body. And Jesus answered him and said, I want you to be clean. Then and there, all signs of the leprosy were gone in that instant second. No treatment, no prognosis. You know, diagnosis is there. He's a leper. What's the prognosis? Give me a second. This stuff is going to be out of here.
Right.
And it's gone. Jesus says, don't talk about this all over town. Just quietly present your healed body to the priest along with the appropriate expressions of thanks to God. You're clean and go about with a grateful life. Not your words. Will bear witness to what I've done. You don't have to say a thing. People are going to look at you and know you've been in my presence. Let's go farther. Jesus went into another village called Capernaum. And centurion came to him. Are y'all looking at this? He came up to him in a panic and said, "Master, my servant is sick and he can't walk. He's in terrible pain." Jesus said to that man, "I'll come and I'll heal him." Watch the flow here. Now, you heard the leper, right? He says, "I know you can do it." Now, listen to the leper. The leper says, "Come on, Jesus, get for real. You know you don't have to go to my house.
Right.
You can speak a word right here."
Right here.
Yeah. Let's keep this real. You don't have to go. Come on, you guys.
That's right.
Out of all the time that I've spent and years that I've spent with God, "Lord, come by here. I need you in the service this morning." "Oh, you ain't going to have to come to church."
Right.
You know? He says, "Oh, no," the captain said, "I don't want to put you through all of that trouble. Just give the order." And notice how he identifies God's authority with his authority.
Yeah.
That's like you talking about your faith. He says, "Listen, I'm a man of authority, and I got people under me. All I got to do is just tell them what to do."
Yeah.
Is not this man, Corey, saying to Jesus in no uncertain terms, "You can tell the Holy Spirit how to move because you are a triune God." Do you kind of hear that? You can tell the Holy Spirit what to do. You can dispatch him right now. Notice he says, Jesus is so taken back by this man's faith. I'm in verse number 10. He's so taken back by this man's faith. He says, "I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. I've never seen no greater faith than this." Is that not what he called that? Didn't he call that man's faith great? Now, what group do we put this centurion in? Believer or unbeliever? I mean, but how do we categorize him in that time?
Unbeliever.
How do we categorize the leper? Unbeliever. He's unclean. He can't touch that which is clean. Y'all have heard in the sermons, the lepers were set aside. He can't touch what's clean. The woman with issue of blood, she couldn't touch him. Okay, so Jesus is so taken back by this man's faith. He says this. Now, here's the text that you got to get. Jesus says, "This man is a vanguard. This man has set a whole new precedence as it relates to faith. This man, because of the way that he has approached me in faith," like you said, Pastor Corey, he says, "many of the outsiders who are soon coming," now he's talking about the believers, he says, "they're going to be coming from the east and from the west, and they're going to sit down." He calls them the kingdom of God. "They're going to sit down at Abraham's table." Well, let me just call them what it is, and I'm talking about myself because I don't want anybody offended this morning. All of us church folk, us, okay, we ain't talking about
that's
them,
right.
Us. All of us church folk going to come up in here because, "God, you know me. Lord, I've been your servant for all these years. I've been on the motherboard. I've been on the usher board. I've been on the board's board. I cooked breakfast, and I done made the chicken, and I done did all of it on the fried, and I done did this. We built this church, Lord." Woo. Selling chicken. Now we coming in here. He says those people, he calls them outsiders, are going to come in. Then those who grew up in the faith but had no faith are going to find themselves as outcasts. Now, am I making this up or am I?
You're in the scripture. Come on.
It's right there.
So, after today, just know this, before today, I am not church folk.
All right.
My wife is not a preacher's wife.
Okay.
I told her, "When we come in this thing, you ain't putting on no big hat." She wouldn't have put it on anyway. "You're not going to run around here doing all of the stuff and all of this and all of that. You be you."
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Huh? Amen. Taffany, since our relationship is over 20 years, and all you've ever known me as is Pastor Hearth. That's all. You didn't have a choice. Because when Bill and Lena said the preacher coming and we having Bible study at our house, everything at 4:12 had to come to church at the Bible study.
That's right.
Just like at your address. I done seen Natalie sometime. We finna have church again, children. Come on. Daddy's about to have, we about to have church. We are not church folk. We don't have to be in a building.
That's right.
We've had service on Saturday. We've had services at night. We've had services through the course of the week. I don't want to be identified as a person who had no faith and be cast out. And he says, in the cold, outsiders to grace. Huh? Because they think that they have something special. But God looks at these people. So if I look at this and I take the leper and I take this centurion and I look at them, I get a whole new shocking truth that's emerging here, Pastor Corey. I think we need to rethink this thing. I think we need to think about all of these church clothes and all of this. Oh, man, we got the mechanics right. We know how to do that.
That's right.
I'm not making a mockery of anything.
No.
But I'm saying that we need to revisit some stuff, and we need to see where this thing really lies. Those people who don't spend a lot of time in church seem to be the ones that end up with the blessings from God.
Yep.
Can we argue with this leper guy? Do we have some issues that we need Jesus to fix right now? Do we have some places that we need him to visit right now?
Amen.
Do we have some loved ones that we need him to take care of right now?
Amen.
We're always trying to, well, Lord, I need to send some money over here. I need to help them. Where's your faith?
Yeah.
I know money answereth all things, but if a person is laying there and they're in stage 4 cancer, and you say, well, I'm going to send you a love offering, I wonder how they're going to feel about that, huh? That's the last thing on their mind, Pastor Corey.
Yeah.
They want a healing.
Yeah.
Hmm? You can have church and never minister.
Right.
Today I need at this moment with you guys, because you guys are where the rubber meets the highway. You're there, and I'm here, and I'm always thinking from where I am and my vantage point that by now you guys ought to have it together. You know, but I never stopped to say, do you have any questions? Is there something that I can help you with? The unbelievers, let's talk about this in these last couple of minutes. Do you think that we are a little bit unapproachable because of our dynamics, like church as church? Do we, our culture, let's call instead of church folks, can I call us culture?
Yeah.
Okay, no more church folk, because that's kind of maybe demeaning. So in our dynamics, in our culture, do you think that we have made ourselves unapproachable?
To some, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to what degree?
Just because as church folks, as
culture
we should say, culture people,
mm-hmm.
We are so quick to judge.
Yeah.
We're so quick to judge people. Mm-hmm. Just from looking at what we know as their situation when we don't know what caused that situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's why we are unapproachable to people that are not as great in their faith right now.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people, like, you know, some that don't go to church that has more faith than us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because guess what? That's all that they know. That's all that they have is just to trust God.
Yeah.
Don't mean that they got to come into a building to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And in their mind, that may be how they feel. I don't have to go to church to know God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so their faith may be greater than ours. And so because of that, they may have questions that they're not going to come and ask us because they're thinking that we're going to judge.
Absolutely.
Their situation.
Absolutely.
And who are we to judge anybody?
Right.
Because we had to be at some point to even come into this building.
Yeah.
Right.
To even know God ourselves, we had to be at some point. We didn't have it all together before we walked in the door.
Mm-hmm. Still
don't. Exactly.
Yeah.
We still are struggling daily,
mm-hmm.
even with our faith.
Yes.
We're struggling daily to even trust God with things that are so minor, just
yeah.
little things that we trust, you know, that we have a problem with trusting God with. So who are we to judge? But that is true. They will be standoffish to us because they're thinking, you know, if I go in there and I ask for help, then they're going to be saying, you know, Why does they, you know, why do they need help? Why do, you know, what situation brought this about? What did you do?
Right.
And sometimes it be things that's out of your control. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it be things that are around you mm-hmm. that causes situations inside of you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, I do believe that.
And that's not all. That's not only, Pastor Corey, outside of the walls. Because of our dynamics in our culture, it's church. That happens inside, too.
Yeah.
It happens inside, too. People feel themselves segregated.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. People's always sizing you up, man.
Exactly. People are always sizing you up.
Always sizing you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, people are going to size you up.
Man. Yes. Yes.
You know, and I think that's the what we need to do as believers.
Thank you for answering.
And just
yeah.
step back and say, you know what? And I think that's where the faith comes within Jesus, even though people are sizing you up
mm-hmm.
and judging you and saying, you know what, man, you can't be what
mm-hmm.
what you're saying you are. There's
absolutely.
No way. Uh-huh. Because I know who you are. I know where you come from. So there's
uh-huh.
no way you can be what you're saying
right,
you're
being. Right, right.
And I think that's the key to that. Step back and say, okay, size me up, but just watch me walk.
Absolutely. My
watch
need, my need,
yeah.
the centurion, the leper,
mm-hmm.
yes.
out of all of you cultured people's pretentiousness, all of your being narcissistic,
mm-hmm.
stuck on yourselves, my need has caused me to just ignore you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I see Jesus.
Amen.
My need is what's driving me right now.
Right.
But because our needs have been supplied,
right.
send them away. They crieth after us. You got something, Pastor Corey?
No, I'm just...
You leaning back, bro.
Well, I think a lot of times, too, we see Jesus as afar, you know, but he's really not a far away, but we see him that way, and a lot of times we spend time running to him, but really, in essence, he's not that far away because we spend so much time listening to other people's nonsense. And
man,
other
say that again, man. Say that again. Say it slow.
Jesus is, we see him as afar, but he's really not.
He's
and
not
because
far,
we
man.
Listen to what people say about us. We listen to, you know, how they judge us and and allow that to come in. And
mm-hmm.
we take all that nonsense and we just think he's at a distance, but he's not.
But he's not.
He's right there, man.
Absolutely.
All the time. And that's the faith that you got to have, I believe, is to know that he's right there.
Yeah.
He's never left you.
No. There you go, bro. I knew it. Told you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no
all
way,
right.
people,
right.
man. What? Come on, Holy Ghost. We got to get through this, and we're going to all be up here. Man, these are the wrong three to be up here. But Peter, James, and John. So.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's all right.
When we think of the wrecks that we were, that were saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
But God, the grace didn't stop when he saved us.
That's right.
The grace of God keeps us. It's because we have not become errorless. But now the preciousness of his grace caused us to be, some people say highly favored because of what they have. But I say
right.
I'm highly favored because of the grace, because I am
Amen.
the righteousness of God. I am. That's why I'm highly favored.
Amen.
Not because of what I drive or where I live, but because I am.
That's right.
You hear me?
That's right.
That's where it is. And that's what, you know, as we're coming to a close here in these last couple of minutes, I just want to just revisit by imagination a sermon that was given, I think, last Sunday or so, these last couple. It says, my past prepared me. And that's those four lepers that were, you know, out there in as the Assyrians centered around. And I think of how they considered themselves to go ahead and be un-mainstream. We are in the condition we're in. But by faith, they rescued everybody. Right now, the person that you're looking down upon, based on what I learned in the scriptures, their faith can rescue you.
Yes, Lord.
Right now, I'm thinking that based on what Jesus said about the kingdom and our faith and being out in the cold, we need some of these people that we have turned our nose up at to come and help us.
Amen.
Because they got nothing to lose.
Hmm?
God has blessed us with finance and we're still not happy. Blessed us with a home and we're still complaining. Lord, if you give me this, I'll worship you and you haven't even, we're not even faithful in our tithe and our offering.
Thankful for what we already have.
Hmm? Let me just take a minute right there. I need to talk about this right now because people think I'm a preacher that can talk about money. Because I'm favored by God because I don't have to have yours. But I certainly want you to use that opportunity when you were broke, busted, and disgusted, couldn't be trusted. You begged God to help you in your finance. And now you find it hard to give God a dime out of a dollar. But you'll turn around, sit down at a restaurant, put your feet under the table, eat a $40 steak, and you'll tip somebody because you want to impress them, and you'll give
right.
them this huge tip.
Right.
You'll buy drinks for the house. And you won't come in here and you won't bless God with anything. Oh, thou of all such great faith, what you can't afford to do. And then you're going to give the excuse about what the preacher going to do with it. Yes, Lord. So I look and I see that there's going to be somebody that's going to have to come and rescue us. And I think that it's going to be the unbelievers right now. My people that are called by my name. But I think we need to relook at this and we need to say right now, we're having to learn a lesson from people that don't have what we have. I like the way that Paul did it in 2 Corinthians as well, where he was confronted by the Judaizers. And Judaizers, I want to remind you, they were Christians. They were believers. But they were some of the most judgmental people you ever seen in the Holy Scriptures. Because if you didn't do it the way they wanted it done, and what they went to do, and this is how they got, this is how bad this thing, this is how it started to just really just masticize Pastor Corey, is not only did they want to break up the relationship between Paul and the people that he was blessing, but they wanted to also twist the gospel. See, it was so much truth in what Paul was telling until they had to twist the gospel to make it look like he was a heretic or he was a false prophet. That's why Paul turned and told them, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Listen, do you ever hear him say in that text, he says, the rulers of darkness in high places? There are some devils out there that are sitting in seats of authority and declaring the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So in closing today, and you guys have been so kind, I want to do something. I want first, Taffany, can you take 60 seconds and just wrap it up with everybody out there and just tell everybody something. And then, Corey, you get 60 seconds, and then I'm going to take my 60 seconds. So 3 more minutes, and we'll be out of here.
I just not sure what it is. I think we said everything. I think that we just kind of touched.
Tell somebody to be encouraged.
Yeah, just be encouraged and don't give up your faith in God regardless of what your situation is. It can be changed. Okay, just don't give up. And we are here. We're not judgmental. We're always here to embrace you right where you are and to help you grow in whatever areas of life that you need to grow in.
That's wonderful. That's good.
2 Corinthians 5:21, for he that knew no sin became sin for you and I, so an I and you through him could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That scripture has completely changed my life forever. There's been times where I didn't necessarily believe that I was righteous, but by faith, speaking that I am righteous, he made me righteous already, but I believed it within myself that I am the righteousness of God. So no matter what you're going through today, no matter where you've been, no matter where you woke up at, cite that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he that knew no sin became sin for you and I, so an I and you through him could become the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor Corey, when the last time we heard you, when the last time you preached at home? Amen. Next Sunday, huh? So, all right. So, I just felt that. The Holy Spirit is just instantly getting fresh. To everyone out there, I'm moved and I'm just elated by this moment that I've had an opportunity to sit and to talk with people who love the Lord and to know that I have the relationship with them as I do. Mm-hmm. And we're travelers, we're journeying, and we're learning. I want to just take time to say to all of the people that are there that visit us each Sunday right here and you sharing it, I have had an opportunity to go back and take a look at the footprint that we're making with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I tell you that footprint is really getting large. It's growing, and I'm not talking about numbers right now, but I'm talking about people that are being touched, lives that are being affected. Amen. I want you to keep sharing this, and tell someone to come and to join us. Diversity is our theme. That's what Nation Harvest is all about. It's about diversity. It's about the magnitude of God's divine nature, where God moves us from that which was only once a theology and brings us into the philosophical wonders of his precious word. And then he also defines us in our psychology, where he says that we are renewed in our mind. And that is the power of God here. I want to reach out and touch you where you are in your psychology right now, the way that you are processing the things that you think, the things that you think about yourself, because no one can dictate to you what God's about to do for you next in your life. Right now, it doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what God is about to do. No one can dictate what God will do for you. It would be remiss of me if I didn't close this session today without saying happy Valentine's Day to my heart. You all know how I feel about this woman. You all know how I am about her. And I'm going to suffer the consequences of doing what I'm about to do right now. And that is to have her come to this stage, because she is the producer of Sunday service. Each Sunday, she is the producer. She is the executive producer and the co-producer. And she is flanked by our loving daughter, Alina, who is the chief technician. She is the person behind the cameras. But today, last night, I showered them with flowers and cards. I feel so sorry for my son-in-law, whoever he's going to be. He has a very tough lead to follow, because she gets the best and she demands the best. I'm not out here trying to scout for her, but I just wanted to let that be known. And I showered them last night, but today I wanted her to come and grace me on this stage. And if she just make her way up here now as we get ready to do our outro, and she come and she just spend a moment with us, and let's stand, not because she's the first lady, but because she is the woman of my life.
Amen.
And she has her big love on today, and she's mouthing things to me as she comes up here. But this is the love of my life. Pound Tad over there, too. Let me tell you what she said. She saw the seating last night. She said, "Do Tad know she going to sit up there today?" She was ready to call you last night and tell you something that she didn't know you already knew. This is the love of my life, precious people. And to her, I say happy Valentine's Day.
Amen.
And I love her so much. And I love you guys, too. We look forward to seeing you all next Sunday. Go back, baby, because you got to do your outro now. And she's going to get ready to take us out of here. Next Sunday, we'll see you right here, 10 a.m. Tell someone, come and share. Share the app, download the app. It's a one button step to getting to the live stream and the other inspirations that are found in the D.A. Hirth app. Ever wonder why it's called D.A. Hirth app and not Nations Harvest? That's because there are so many nations and so many harvests. And if you start looking for us on the internet, you'd never find us. Amen. But I don't know another H-U-R-T-H out there. So it's so that we can have something that's easy to find. DA Hearth app. No pats on my back, but to God be the glory in everything that we do, and he alone will not share his glory with another. God bless you. I'll see you all next week. Taffany, thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Love you, darling. Happy Valentine's Day, sweetheart.
God's doing a new thing. Get ready for overflow. You've been waiting, you've been praying, you've been pressing, you've been fasting. God's doing a new thing. Get ready for overflow. So I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. Oh, I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen.
Lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this: our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Give strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever.
Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing.
My God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Awesome.
a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you.